Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Jesse Jackson here, and I'm announcing a contest. Starting now through the end of February, all you have to do to win a copy of Nikki Germain's Springsteen at Liberty Hall is to go to iTunes and leave a review for the podcast. Hopefully a good one. I would love nothing but 5 stars in a 3 or 4 sentence review about why you love the podcast and why other people should listen to the podcast. Once you post it, send me a screenshot of your review. Email it to setlustingbruce@gmail.com. And everyone who submits that review, a screenshot of that review, will be entered into a drawing to win Nikki's book. If you include your mailing address, I will send you a Set Lusting Bruce sticker as a way of saying thank you. So that's all it needs. Go iTunes, rate and review the show, make a screenshot, email it, setlustingbruce@gmail.com, and who knows, you might be enjoying this wonderful book, absolutely free. And now, let's get the show going.
I just love the recording studio as a playground so much, and I love writing music because you start like with nothing, and in the end you have something like a little world.
Sure.
But I love to perform too, and okay. I do it sometimes. I also used to take the Muscle Shoals session players out around the world and play with them, and eventually became the band leader. And I think in very many ways, Stevie Van Zandt is maybe a role model, not like that conscious, but like what all he did is what I do in my world too. I produce, I arrange, I write, I play. I don't front the band. I don't really do that. I go out and do songwriter shows sometimes, but I love it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of Set Lusting Bruce, your podcast all about Bruce Springsteen, his music, and mostly his fans. I am your host, Jesse Jackson. Today, we are talking a little Bruce, but we're also talking about Nashville, Tennessee, Muscle Shoals, Alabama, and a podcaster. Andreas, thanks for joining me on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Jesse. I look forward to it.
Yeah, the moment I saw Muscle Shoals, Alabama, I thought of Jason Isbell and his family background there.
Yeah, it's for me, it was like what predated Jason even more, which is the music recorded there in the 60s and 70s especially, which kind of Jason and some of his contemporaries, Patterson Hood, who was in the Drive-By Truckers with him, they came out of that. I worked with Patterson's dad, David Hood, who's the original bass player all the time in the recording studio, and I've worked with Jason too, as a matter of fact. Yeah, that's my world, for better or worse.
No, that's a great world. I love that. And so tell us a little about yourself.
I grew up in Switzerland, fell in love with American roots music of all kinds. I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit later, because that's the Springsteen universe It's very much the same.
Yeah.
And then I eventually moved to the U.S. to produce records, write music, play, and now also compose for visual, so for movies and TV. And yeah, it's all, I don't know, in a way, a little bit of a dream come true for me. And I sometimes I count my blessings a lot that I get to do what I love to do.
Yeah. I always like to start at the beginning. So tell me, you mentioned growing up in Switzerland. What kind of music were you and your family listening to when you were younger?
My family was not very musical, I must say. There was not a whole lot of music in the house, so I had to seek it out, especially when I became a teenager. And I think in the beginning, it was like what everybody listened to my age. I was born in 81, so I started listening maybe in 92, 91. And then it was like a lot of like harder rock and roll, Guns N' Roses and Aerosmith and AC/DC and Bon Jovi. And funny enough, that got me into Southside Johnny and the Asprey Jukes even before Bruce, which I think is a backdoor for most people.
Yeah, I
but
think
they had
so.
That
That's
Better Days album where Bruce was on. He contributed a song. He sang on it. And I think at the same time, there must have been maybe 93, 94, Streets of Philadelphia was on MTV. And then the Hungry Heart remake with Wolfgang Niedeck and that video when the Greatest Hits record came out. I think that was my entry point.
Tell me a little bit more of how did you find Southside? What about him spoke to you? And how did that lead to Bruce?
Yeah, it was, I think it was the Bon Jovi connection, because I was just a teenager and I'm not, didn't quite follow that path, but that turned me on to that Better Days album, because
yeah,
Bon Jovi sings on it too. And then I just fell in love. It's still one of my favorite records, because also the music that I do is very much like that rock and soul thing that Stevie Van Zandt always talks about, and that E Street Band too. It's like a rock and roll band that plays soul music and usually has a horn section. I think that's how it happened. And then Bruce sang on it. And then I remember another record. It was an Elliot Murphy record. And Bruce sang on that too. It's Everything I Do Leads Me Back to You. And it's funny. And then I really got into Bruce's stuff around the time, I think, the Greatest Hits record came out. And I can't really explain it. It's like when you're super into music, you go down rabbit holes. And one rabbit hole led me to Bruce.
Yeah. So I want to go back to a little bit growing up. Did you know you always wanted to make music? What did you pick up an instrument? What, tell me a little bit about how you started creating music.
Yeah, looking back, it looked like it might have been all well thought out. I didn't quite feel like it when I was little. I started playing, getting classical guitar lessons. And I really didn't connect with the teacher or the way it was taught. And I almost abandoned it completely, because I thought I could play songs, but there was like scales. And for me, like, I don't know how old I was, maybe 7. It just didn't connect. And then in like public school, I got to play a little bit of ukulele. And then from there, I found my way back to the guitar and the electric guitar. But it was always just a hobby. And then I started playing in bands and started writing songs for the band, started producing record for the band, and just gradually happened. I guess that's like the condensed version anyway.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, Andreas. Did you, and that American roots, that soul, that Stax, was always something that spoke to you?
In the beginning, it was also like the Bruce story. Maybe Aerosmith covered a blues song.
Right.
And then, oh, this is great. Or the Rolling Stones. And it might have been next. And then the Rolling Stones did a lot of Chuck Berry and did a lot of Solomon Burke on their early records. And then I started playing the guitar, and that kind of got me into blues and jazz. And so it was an evolution. It's, but it, as in Bruce's case, like the old school soul music also started as a rabbit hole, but then it became the universe for me.
Yeah. I think that's interesting, right? That I know that is a similar story, that people hear the cover version, then you want to go hear the original. Then you want to hear, okay, I got another cover that doing that. I feel the same way sometimes about writing. Like I'll read a book and they'll mention another writer in the book and I'll go, oh, I wonder what that is. So you'll make a note and check that out. But yeah. How did you get from being fan to being in the business to making this your career?
Yeah, that's probably the hardest question for me to ask. Somehow along the line, I met a lot of my heroes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like I met David Hood is one of them, and other musicians and songwriters associated with the heyday of Muscle Shoals music, and some in Nashville. And they just took me under their wing because I think in the beginning, I was just like this exotic person, just being super interested in what they do and also super knowledgeable, because all I had from like across the pond was like liner notes of records, a few books. That was even before all these music documentaries came out. There were not that very many. So you really had to dig. And I dug because I just loved it more than anything else. And I think that was my foot in the door. But then I guess you have to prove yourself along the way still. But that was like, I just, all my heroes became my mentors and became my friends and became my collaborators. So they just sucked me in. And before, I always thought of it as almost like a really serious hobby. But that meeting all these people and working with them made it super attainable after a while.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Pantheon listeners. Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus meal plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
When did you, and maybe often I've been told, if you don't manage your career, manages you. And I am guilty of that. I have been really bad at managing my career over the years. Was there a point when you realized you really enjoyed being behind the scenes as an engineer or producer versus more than being the front person and making music? Or was it just that happened?
That's probably, I just love the recording studio as a playground so much. And I love writing music because you start like with nothing. And in the end, you have something like a little world.
Sure.
But I love to perform too. And okay. I do it sometimes. I also used to take the Muscle Shoals session players out around the world and play with them. And mm-hmm. eventually became the band leader. And I think in very many ways, Stevie Van Zandt is maybe a role model, not like that conscious, but like what all he did is what I do in my world too. I produce, I arrange, I write, I play. I don't front a band. I don't really do that. I go out and do songwriter shows sometimes, but I love it all.
Yeah. Talk to me a little bit more about Little Steven maybe being a subconscious influence, because I just watched, as we're recording this, it's November. This episode probably won't come out till January. I'm trying to get some
60
ahead.
60 minutes.
Yes, he was on 60 Minutes, and he talked about that he liked being the guy next to the guy, right? That's my words, not him. I remember once West Wing, they said, I don't want to be the man. I want to be the man that the man counts on, not to be gender sexist. And the 60 Minute guy joked with him, you don't like being in the limelight? And then here's Little Steven flashing this and go, yeah, I've given up trying to figure that out a long time ago. So is that, you're saying, similar to your feelings?
I would say so. I'm also like, my interests are pretty broad, and I like my soul and my brain tickled in like many ways. And I think if you're doing the artist thing,
yeah,
you very much have to focus on that, and maybe everything else is going to take a backseat. I'm also not the greatest singer, which probably helped maybe subconsciously.
Okay.
Put me in that, on that lane. But no, I can relate to it. I like being in the background. I like creating. And creators are usually more in the background, I think. Even if their name's on it, I'm in the recording studio or I'm here writing something. Or
yeah.
That's what I love. And that's usually me by myself or me with a buddy or me with a group of musicians in the recording studio.
So let's talk a little bit, share a little bit, and let's brag a little bit about some of the projects you've been on. So tell some stories behind that, brag a little bit about some of the things you're really proud about.
I got to make quite a few records that still like the same musicians, basically. I played on some of my favorite records in the 60s and 70s. There are people that most casual listeners might not know, but there's a chance that everybody's heard the songs because they played on the songs or they wrote the songs that are part of the classic rock or classic American songbook by now. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm most proud of. I did this live record with Jason Isbell and that might ring more, but for me it's playing with 80-year-old guys and ladies.
Yeah.
That's where the jam is for me, for sure.
Yeah. So I am a recent Jason Isbell fanatic. He has not passed Bruce in my mind, but he is someone that I just recently, I knew him. I had bought the Nashville Sound and I had bought Reunions, but I saw him live for the first time this year. And because I knew he was coming up, I just did nothing but immerse myself in his music and have been like, wow, this guy's pretty good. So talk a little bit about, you've worked with Jason, then we'll go back to some of the other people, but I'm gonna feed my fanboy for a little bit.
All right. I think Jason, he's a super hardworking guy. And probably that's maybe what relates him to Bruce almost the most, because he's obsessed with his craft. and he works all the time. He tours all the time. He's also like Bruce, like in the beginning, he was oblivious to what's surrounding him. And then he became really involved with like social issues and started opening his eyes and his music related to the present. I don't know him super well. The project that I did with him didn't even meant to be a record, but it was actually a show that I produced with Jimbo Hart and Jack Gamble as his rhythm section down in Florence, Alabama, where mm-hmm. Jason wanted to do a show where he performed with all of his heroes, which are the same heroes that I just mentioned.
Yeah.
And so I helped put that show together for him. And then during the pandemic, they're recording so much that it became a live record.
And that is what's the name of it?
It's called Live at or Live from Shoals Theater.
Ah, yes.
I think it came out in summer of 2020, probably. It was recorded in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on Bandcamp. I know I've seen a vinyl of it too. I don't even have one in my collection. But
oh, wow. So you talk about, is the reason you came when you moved from Switzerland to Nashville and there at Molson Shoals, is that the reason why this love of music is when you moved, is the reason why you moved to that area?
Yeah. Molson Shoals is only a 2-hour drive from Nashville.
Okay.
I actually never lived in Molson Shoals, but I'm a resident at a studio there as I am in Nashville.
Okay.
And I have a place to stay and it's an easy commute. But Nashville has more of the live music scene and even more of a creative community. So it's always made the most sense for me to actually be based in Nashville. But still, my musical identity is much more connected with Molson Shoals. And even if I make records in Nashville, it has some of that bluesy R&B roots thing to it. It's not like a modern country thing at all.
Yeah, so you mentioned that. Thank you for sharing me a little bit about Jason. I just saw Live at Shoals Theater. It's available on Amazon. I'll include the link on that. Talk about some of your heroes that you've been able to spend time with, that you've been able to work. I know that Bruce talked, and Lil Steven talked about being able to work with Sam Moore, Darlene Love, Gary U.S. Bonds, others. So talk to me a little bit about people you've worked with that you're just going, I can't believe that I've had the chance to work with them. Tell me some stories about that.
You mentioned the classic R&B singers. So I got to work with Sam Moore and Eddie Floyd and Clarence Carter and Betty LaVette and Candy Staten and people like that, like on the artist side, but then also the songwriters of some of those songs, Dan Penn and Spooner Oldham and Donnie Fritz and George Jackson, who wrote Old Time Rock and Roll. And Dan Penn did A Dark End of the Street. I think Bruce did that live a couple times too. That's it for me. What's the name? Who are these people? Nobody really knows. But the people in the know, they do know and they do care, and the casual listeners know the classic songs.
Little Steven talks about that in his book, that there wasn't an oldie circuit back then, that it was just, and all of a sudden now then when new music comes in, and he's done a lot to keep that roots, that American blues and rock and roll and rhythm and blues and soul a lot. So is there a couple people or more than that you haven't got to work with that you still is on your wish list, Andreas?
Some of them are gone.
Sadly, obviously. Yes.
There are a few. I would love to work with Mavis Staples of the Staples Singers.
Oh, yeah. I could see that. Yeah.
Through the Molson Shoals thing, I've got to be around her. I never got to work with her. So that's a bucket list thing. I would love to make a record with Gary U.S. Bonds too. And actually Southside Johnny for that matter, because to me it's like would almost be a little bit of a full circle thing. And I would love to see that happen. It actually almost happened. It's funny.
Tell me about it.
Too long after I moved to Nashville, I got to meet Gary Talent through a mutual friend of mine. His name's Kevin McKendry. He's a great piano player. He worked on some of Gary's projects that Gary produced. And Kevin played him some of the tracks that I did with the Muscle Shoals horns. And he played him for John, and he wanted to use those tracks and basically turn them into Southside Johnny record. And that never happened. I don't know why. I want to do my own stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's a good story. It tickled my soul for a minute. And Gary's a sweet guy. He wouldn't just say that, I don't think.
No. Yeah. So, I really enjoyed his two solo albums.
Kevin's on that, at least certainly on the first one.
Yeah. That's cool. That's got to be cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And we were talking about going down rabbit holes.
Sure.
And Gary produced a Southside Johnny record called Messing with the Blues. And there's a song on there I love called Tell Him I'm Broke, which is like an old R&B song. But then I also got all the records that Gary produced throughout Nashville. And then there's Elevantes and Steve Warburton. He did a lot of records for a while. And he doesn't really do that anymore. Although he did another Delavante's record a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I always liked that stuff where he was involved. And then he also had a band in Nashville called the Long Players. And the Long Players is not a recording band, but they chose one record, one classic record, let's say a Rolling Stones record like Sticky Fingers. And then they will perform the whole Sticky Fingers record one night with different singers singing it. And I used to go out and see them. And then he moved to Montana, I think, for a while. Then I lost touch. But then he moved back to Nashville maybe 5 years ago or something like that.
Yeah. I do think it is amazing, the talent in the E Street Band. I'm a fanboy. But you think about Gary, just this solid bass player that just is consistently there. And then you think about all the work he's done producing and working.
Yeah,
there. That is a really strong lineup, isn't it?
Yeah, the other thing is, too, I'm not sure if I heard Gary play better than on this recent tour.
Oh, tell me a little about
that. Might have had something
to
do with the mix, that he was maybe a little more prominent in the mix, so he could really hear a lot of what he was doing. But I thought he sounded so good on this current tour that I was like, oh, man, I knew he was great, but I think he was really stellar on this tour.
So I take you did get to see a show from this tour?
Yes, I've seen one show of this tour.
Which show did you go to?
Zurich, Switzerland, sometime in July, I believe.
Ah, so you went back home and saw him there?
Yeah, I'm actually in Switzerland now.
Oh, okay.
But during the pandemic, we started renting an apartment here, and I'm not spent still my creative base is all Nashville, but yeah, it's 2 a.m.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I would have changed the time. That's so sweet for you.
You don't have to, because I'm on American time. I'm like after Thanksgiving, I'll be back again, and then everything work related is a little shifted, so it overlaps more with Tennessee time.
What's funny, Andreas, is I, in a previous job, we worked with a company that was based in the Philippines, Manila. And I would spend time in there, and it was very weird. You'd get up at 8 o'clock at night, you'd go to work at 2 a.m, you'd go to lunch and get off at 6 or 7 a.m, go home and go to sleep. And yeah, that is interesting. How much time do you split between Switzerland and the US?
It depends a little bit. I think probably the goal will be to almost spend a little more time in Switzerland when I'm like just working by myself, which I can do from anywhere. But then all the projects that require collaboration, I will be in the US. So it's basically, it depends on the work, how I'm about to make a record like in a couple of weeks. So obviously I have to be there. And then it's hard to tell. It's professionally, I'm all there really, even when I'm here.
Yeah.
but the rest is nice here in Switzerland too. It's also good balance.
That's nice. What kind of record are you going to work on?
So the next record I'm going to make is with a guy, with a blues guy. His name is Doug McLeod. He's been the tradition of the old Delta blues people, okay, where he goes out and usually performs by himself. That's the next one I'm doing. And then there's one I'm doing with a friend of mine. His name is Mark Normore. He's a really successful songwriter, but as an artist, he's not so well known.
Yeah.
And I'm going to play a couple shows with this guy. His name is Jerry Phillips. His father was Sam Phillips, who had some records. He discovered Elvis and Jerry Lee Lewis and Carl Perkins and Johnny Cash. So I'll do that in Memphis. And
yeah. So let's talk about the podcast. Tell me a little bit. In your bio, you said it's not a consistent thing, but it is something you love to do. So tell me a little bit about the podcast.
Like, I love talking to you, and it's usually like my musician friends are my podcast guests. And the format is fairly similar in a way where it's a long form conversation where I just try to uncover as much as I can with retracing somebody's life in music. I think I have about 50 episodes, and I have probably taped another 30 that I'll start putting out after Christmas again, because unlike everybody else started their podcast during the pandemic. I like did it up to the pandemic, and then life got in the way, but I have all these interviews recorded, and I just need to edit them together. And sometimes that's a little hard. The interview part, you prepare for it, and then you spend an hour or two, but then you have to edit it, and that I do that all by myself. So sometimes that's hard for me when I'm super busy.
Yeah, I'm a one-man band as well. I have my booking calendar, then I have an Excel spreadsheet that says, okay, I've talked to Andreas, check, but have I edited it, and when am I going to publish it? And then you've got to edit it, and I try not to do too many edits because I like the freedom of a conversation back and forth. Yeah, but every once in a while, you need to, right? There's something like, this is not needed in our conversation. So I'll probably try to cut that out. But yeah, it is. The fun part is the conversation, right? Mm-hmm. And the fun part is having people hear it. But sometimes the editing can be, okay, I've got to do that. I've got to make sure that happens.
Yeah, you got to upload it, tag, all that kind of stuff, which is not as soul tickling, but it's got to be done.
But my biggest struggle is I'm really bad at writing. I think I'm a pretty good interviewer, but I'm bad at writing the summary. Some people are really good at writing Andreas and I had a great conversation. We talked about growing up in Switzerland. We talked about how Southside Johnny's better days led to Bruce. And when it's time for me, we had a good conversation. Please listen.
That's what I do too. It's like, hey, if the people are interested, they're going to listen. I'm not sure if a good summary, I might tip another 1% of people to it, but I feel like when I listen to podcasts, and I've listened to quite a few of your episodes, especially when you had a guest that was like, that rang a bell with me. That's okay. Usually. I listen on Apple Podcasts. So it's like I put a check mark on yours or the plus. So I see whenever there's a new one coming out, and that's how I consume. Do you have any particular favorite podcast that you listen to?
So I don't know if you've checked out Andrew Hickey's The History of Rock and Roll in 500 Songs.
No, I have not.
Okay. So this guy is amazing. He is from the UK, and his goal is to tell the history of rock and roll in 500 songs. And so the last episode he had is Another Piece of My Heart by Janis Joplin. And so it's a 2-hour episode.
Yeah,
of
that
him.
Was Carolyn Franklin even before, who was Aretha's sister.
Yes, and so that's what
written
he goes.
Jerry Ragavoy. Sorry,
No, exactly. And so he does this story, And then if you're in his Patreon group, he does an amazing, and this was somebody I had never heard of, and you'll know who this person is. Let me look it up, because I was like, how did I not know this person existed? Hold on, here we go. Yeah, he did a bonus episode of Laura Nyro, NYRO. Yeah.
Oh, well,
never had heard of her. And so I'm like, who's she? And I started listening to it. I'm like, holy crap, the song she wrote.
Yeah, you heard some of those songs for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I like that a lot.
There's also the connector, Springsteen connection, just minor. Jimmy Vivino used to be her band leader in the 80s. And Jimmy's connection with Bruce and Southside and Max. And so it's all connected, isn't it funny?
It really is that this how, and like I was amazed a few years ago when Ken Burns did that country music documentary.
Yeah.
That talked about how Jimmy Rogers and the Carter family and how everything came from that. Just that influenced Johnny Cash, who influenced this and this. And it just, that I'm fascinated. And I'm sure that's one of the reasons why you love working with these legends that people may not know, but they should know, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I would always say, yeah, they should know. I'm glad if they know the music. The music speaks for itself. But I would encourage anyone to just dig a little deeper when there's something they love. Hey, where did this come from? Funny enough, you mentioned the 60 Minutes interview with Stevie Van Zandt too.
Yeah.
And they talked about his T-Truck initiative where they tried to get music back into the school curriculums through a back door, where you start at a point where the kids are familiar with, you may be a current singer, and then you have them retrace the history. So that's, I think a lot of people could benefit from it.
Yeah, I love his statement, we're the only country that doesn't thinks arts is a luxury. And I love that where he says, oh, you like Beyonce? All right, that's Aretha Franklin. And you know who Aretha Franklin is?
Yeah.
That led to that. That's all right. Do you need to take a minute? Okay.
Give me one. That might be a good editor.
Yeah. Hey there.
Somebody just woke up. Hey, I'm just going to bring it to mama and I'll be right back.
All right. No problem.
Sorry about that. He's a little jet lag.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Dad. That's great. Yeah. I agree. It would be wonderful to see that and I think the really great ones, like Jason Isbell, Little Steven, Bruce Springsteen, others, acknowledge the roots. They're standing on the foundation built by other musicians.
Yeah, I agree. And the other thing is too, it's like a river. It started a long time ago. And then Bruce is like one of the main links in the chain. Both, if you look at the River album, for example, there's almost all styles, almost all that he does. And then there's like The Wild Innocent and the East Street Shuffle, which is almost like an R&B record, if you think about it.
Yeah.
With a lot of horns and that funky rhythm section that he had at that point. Yeah, and then you have the Jason Isbells, who like love Darkness on the Edge of Town in Nebraska, and they take that further, and that's interesting to me too. And I look at it as like this river or this continuum that's flowing from, and I just also in the beginning I was on the receiving end, and now I'm like both, and eventually I will just be the one that will have to pass on some of it.
Yeah, I love that. I think that is a wonderful, I love that image, right? That it keeps flowing and it keeps changing. And you keep finding people rediscover musicians and discover, oh, wow, this is amazing. And it is our history. It is our, this is the reason I do this podcast, is that music is the soundtrack of our lives. It helps us with mourning. It helps us with celebrations. It helps us with births and deaths. And it's just so important to us.
Yeah, I agree. And Springsteen, too, so much that he had to put out an R&B cover record just recently, which I doubt it's like essential in his discography. But it's just almost a fluke in it. But in turns, they'll probably turn a lot of people on to some of those records. Sam Moore sings on it.
Yeah.
And so there's merit in that, even if it's not No Born to Run or No Letter. I love Letter to You.
Oh, yeah. Talk to me a little bit that. Why? I agree with you. Letter to You spoke to me so strong. I was just, because it was the end of we had been on the pandemic, everything that was going on, that album just spoke to me. And I lost my brother in February of this year. And the next night I was at a Bruce show. And when he said, "I'll see you in my dreams," I was just crying. So well, yeah. So talk to me. Thank you, sir. Talk to me a little about Letter to You.
Well, timing was something too. I think for all of us, him embracing mortality as a major theme resonated with me too for different reasons. But for me, it's also the way I feel the E Street Band needs to be recorded, which is put them in a room and make those tracks. And on some of the other more recent records, some of that immediacy and some of that live aspect was a little bit covered up or missing. And I felt that record was the band record. He should have really put Bruce Springsteen, the E Street Band, even on it. I know he doesn't really do that with the studio records, but to me, it's a celebration of the band and of their history as much as anything else. And that's what really resonates with me, I think.
Yeah, in fact, I feel the same way. The story supposedly is that, and I don't know who it was, if it was Gary or Roy or someone said, "Hey, let's not play Beat the Demo." Bruce would do a demo and then they'd come into the studio and he would like, "Okay, we've got to play better than this demo." I love that documentary that's on Apple TV where he's just playing the song on his guitar and they've all got pads writing down, "Okay, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this?"
They knocked it out in just a few days.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm sorry, Adina.
No, go ahead, please.
That's something like producing records too. Unless I need the musicians to do something super specific, I don't like to play in full production demos either, because you work with those musicians because they're better at what they do than what you can make them do. And you hire those musicians, in my case, and in his case, he's been surrounding himself with this band because of who they are, what they contribute. And I think you sometimes might actually diminish what they can do if you steer them in a certain direction, even if it's a good direction. But with what Gary comes up with, or Max, is probably better than Bruce can even imagine. And if he plays in the full demo, they're going to listen to that demo and they're going to be boxed in that whatever they hear. So I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, I think either subconsciously you're influenced.
Yes.
Versus just knowing, just hearing the bare bones of the song on a guitar and then you going, "Okay, oh, I can do something a little bit this." And that's why I love the film where you're talking about, I want it a little bit like this. I love that creative process. I am curious. So Andreas, if you explain to me and like how you would talk about the difference between engineering and producing.
I think engineering is the technical, like capturing and then later mixing and maybe mastering part. So it would mean putting up the microphones and then recording the sound and then mix. That's basically the engineering part. And sometimes this overlaps, but the producer is almost more like a movie director which is the guy overseeing the whole process from beginning to end. And it's like the main sounding board or mirror to the artist. I guess for Bruce, that's Ron Aniello at the moment.
Yeah.
And it's that the main partner that kind of guides the artist, or that they walk together through the whole process. And in my case, sometimes I write some of the stuff. Sometimes I certainly always have a hand in arranging it, but I stopped engineering. I still do a little bit here and there, but I work with two engineers. They're super great. First of all, better than I would be and faster. And also it freed me up. It's the editing of the podcast in a way. It's if I can delegate some of that workload to my friends, then yeah. I can already think about the next step or the next project. And that way I can, otherwise it will take me much longer or much more time to make a record.
Yeah.
And now I can be more flexible, I guess.
Okay. So
did that make any sense to you?
That made a lot of sense. That really did. That was a really good explanation. Is there anything I should have asked you, Andreas, that I haven't?
Not, you know what? We didn't really talk about this, some of my favorite Springsteen stuff, funny
Please,
enough.
Please, let's do
because
it.
Because we just rambled. Hey, and I'll just throw a little curveball your way. My favorite song is, it's not my favorite song, but a song that really always tickled my soul, the so-called Without You, that came out on the Blood Brothers EP. And it's just a fun little jam that I just love. And I wish you were saying, hey, what should he play live? I'm like, hey, I'm going to put my banner up for Without You.
I love that song. I agree. I will send you a link. There is a band from Denton, Texas called Brave Combo that they do rock and roll polka. And they have another song. They do a song where they go through every day of the week. You're doing something different. So that always reminds me. I love that song. I absolutely agree. I would lose my S if he played that live. I would just be going crazy.
Yeah.
Yes, I love that.
I'll go even deeper for you. And
yeah,
the missed opportunity for me is a song called Unsatisfied Heart.
Okay.
Which was recorded during the Born in the USA sessions. And it's not, there's a couple like demos out there that are really not very good. And I wish he would take that song and rework it. I think it's a great idea. And it's a super title, Unsatisfied Heart. I just love.
Yeah.
And I wish he would revisit that idea and flesh it out, make a real song out of it. And I could mention some of my other favorite songs, but that's probably some of the same songs everybody else would mention. So yeah. I thought I'll mention a couple that maybe not so many people.
No, those are great. I love that. The other thing I wanted to hear is Ain't Good Enough. That was from the box set where he talks about Jimmy Iovine and everything. Yeah. That. Yeah, I love that song. A similar tone to that Without You. Yeah, I love that little video of them all in a circle that's playing after the credits. And it's just, I agree. It is so fun. That is great.
Yeah, and it's a shame because that song and a couple other songs that were on that little disc that came with the VHS of it, it didn't even come with the DVD of it. It's, hey, come on, put it somewhere, put it on a collection somewhere so some more people can hear it.
Yeah, I would love that. It his catalog is so vast, right? Like one of the things I ask is, and I'll ask you the same thing you've answered, but are there songs you still want to hear live besides Without You?
Yeah, I always love to hear some of those earlier longs, like Thundercrack.
Yes, I've never heard Thundercrack either. I would love that.
I would do Thundercrack. He has Kitties Back, and he has some of those, the Wild, the Innocent tracks, Wild Billy's Circus. There's a few. Seaside Bar song I will probably take. I thought that would be a good live song. I'm sure there's a few covers I wouldn't turn down. But I'm like not picky when I go to see a show. I want to shut off my mind. And I feel if you're like thinking too hard about what it should be, then you might miss out on what it is a little bit. And that's not what it is. But talking about this current tour, and I know some people have some issues with it, I think it's probably the best crafted show, but the least improvised show. And if you yes. like improvisation, you might not quite get what you want. But talking about the tour, too, I want to give a big shout out to my good friend Ada Dyer, who's killing it every night on that tour.
Okay.
She's one of the singers. She just joined the band for this tour.
Yeah.
She's awesome. I work with her in the studio, and I just want to make sure to mention her name because she's a beautiful soul. And I don't think the Springsteen people know her that much yet. I'm so glad she's on this tour, and it's a really great gig for her. And it's also great to have some people, you know, seeing up there, you know, in one of the greatest tours, you know, of all time.
If you're comfortable, I would love an introduction and have her join me.
I'd be happy to do that. I don't know, you know, how she's a pretty private person.
Yeah, and I absolutely understand.
But I'll be happy to mention it to her on some of my other Extended E Street camp. If that's something you want, I can't.
Yes,
I can't
anyone that you think would be a great guest, I'd love to have them. And you could just tell her that it'll be very low key and that'd be fun. I'd love to hear it. I think this band is so strong. And when we did the New River tour, we had the core E Street band was great, but I love the E Street Orchestra. When the E Street band on steroids, as someone says, I love all the horns. I love the backup singers. I love all the percussion. And I agree with you. If you just had told someone randomly this was going to be the set list, you would go, wow, he's covering almost everything. Now, I realize a few people were unhappy that there wasn't improvisation and they didn't change much. But I just think it's been a great tour. I'm looking forward to next year.
It's for me too. I don't go to 9 shows on each tour. I go to maybe 2, which I'm not like the one, oh no, now it's 80% or 90% the same thing.
Yeah.
So I get it if you like follow it because you're into the rarities.
Sure.
That you don't get that. Mm-hmm. But it's okay.
Yeah.
I think we are, even the ones that are like little, not so happy, it's on a super high level not being happy.
Yes, exactly.
Because you still get 3 hours of the best rock and roll show.
Yeah.
So it's like also maybe.
Yeah, maybe. As they say, first world problems. Yeah, exactly. So Andreas, if someone wants to reach you, what's the best way?
I'm pretty reachable, I think. My website is crazychesterrecords.com, Instagram at crazychesterrecords. That's like my production company.
Okay.
It's not me, but I mean, if somebody like really wants to get in touch with me, I'll find out. And if somebody just wants to check out a little bit about what I do, it's probably a good place to start.
Okay. All right. So Andreas, before this has been so much fun. I have loved visiting with you. I feel like we could talk another hour.
Maybe we gotta do another one sometime.
Yes, I will do that. I am absolutely gonna have you back on. So before I let you go, though, I have to ask you the Mary question. So if you are a fan of Andreas's work and his podcast and you're checking out this episode, thank you so much. I end every episode with this question. Jay Armstrong, who is an honors English teacher, now retired, but when he was teaching, he would give his students the lyrics to Thunder Road. And he would ask them to read it. They would discuss it. They would talk about the themes, the imagery that the lyrics Bruce used. And then he would ask the question, does Mary get in the car? So Andreas, that is your question. Does Mary get in the car at the end of Thunder Road?
My answer is a resounding yes. And I tell you why.
Please do.
First of all, I'm an eternal optimist and hopeless romantic, maybe a little bit too. The cover Bruce. But also, like, I look at the song as the beginning of a story rather than the end of a story. And if you look at a song as such, it's obviously yes.
I love that answer. That is a great answer. Andreas, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for staying up in the middle of the night to visit with me. I think this was a blast, and I absolutely am going to want to have you back in. We will do this again. And I hope everyone goes check out the website. good luck on your upcoming projects, and this will be fun. Listeners, go, please check them out. Tell them Seth Lessing Bruce sent you. I want everyone to be safe, be kind, and we'll talk to you soon. Goodbye. Hello, and welcome to a new year. And as we start 2024, I want to take a moment to thank all the wonderful people that are part of my Patreon group. I want to thank Sean Poole, Dave and Jennifer Van Ebers, Jeff Ulmer, Kimby Wiggins, Sylvan Groth, Yetta, Liz Brunson, Fernando Lozano, Steve Van Sack, Randy Brown, Rob Barnett, Bella Pori, John Munson, Crystal Carroll, Alex Godward, Alex Samalti, Betsy Hodges, Stephen Malio, Liz Brunson, Holly Mack, Steve Rogers, Dale Hosack, Chris Bloom, Anna Lynn, Terry Smith, and of course, Mary Thomas. Thank you guys for kicking in a little bit of cash every month to help support the podcast. You are appreciated. And if you are interested in getting a shout out during at least one episode a month and seeing unedited videos of every discussion, go to patrons.com, search for Seth Lessing Bruce, and for as little a dollar a month, you can support the podcast. For as little as $5 a month, you can get unedited videos. And now, on to the show.
You just heard the fun talking, hard rocking, music loving, album ranking, fan thinking, joy spreading, lyric reading, story sharing podcast that is the one, the only, Seth Lessing Bruce. The theme for Seth Lessing Bruce was written by David Rosen, used by permission.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.